This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you? Hey, Steve-O, how you doing, pal?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. You know, we little short notice on what we are going to do today. Everything's obviously off sync with...
It's Sunday. It's Sunday. We came in here. I got some jury duty to do. I called my man, Steve-O. I said, hey, get in here, Steve-O. Let's do our post-show. And
you know what? I was sitting there watching crappy football. Our Cowboys weren't on today because we had a big win on Thanksgiving Day.
Right.
So guess what? I had the wife setting up Christmas decorations. So you know what I decided to do?
Talk to me.
I decided to go ahead and help for a minute. Get them down. Let her organize them. I mean, we got a big tree we got to put up tonight. But I wanted to get up here and talk a little cowboy football. That's what
I really want. What a great win that was, man. And it was high scoring just like we called it.
Yeah, but here, let's you know what? I got something burning my ass right now. I fumbled on Thursday, and I can't stand it, and I got to get some off my chest.
Fire away, babe.
Just mistimed everything. So, you know, when we're organizing everything for the holidays, the wife decided that she wanted to eat around 5:30 dinner. Big family dinner. Everybody over. Cooking two turkeys. Well, what's at 5:30?
That's towards the end of the game. Well, that's like fourth quarter, going in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of the goddamn game.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I'm smoking the turkey out there, and, you know, you got to monitor stuff, and you got to check temperatures, and you don't want it to get dry, and you don't want it to be undone, you know, not done enough, and family showing up. And, I mean, it really kind of threw a monkey wrench in the whole thing. Right. So going forward, I'm going to have to make sure that if the Cowboys play the noon game or the one game, whichever coast you're on or whatever. If they play the early game.
Which maybe, one? Not on Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving.
They never play the early game. It's always been a 3 o'clock game.
Okay.
Always. Detroit always plays the 12 o'clock, and we play the 3 o'clock.
All right. Well,
so you just got to get your schedule.
Here's the deal. Then we got to eat at 2.
There. That's
prepare to eat
so
at
you
2.
You got to smoke your turkey like around 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And get it done, get it out of the way.
So anyway, long story short, I'm sitting in there carving a turkey. It's hot as can be, the turkey. I mean, it just come off the smoker. I'm trying to watch. All of a sudden, there's plays going on. There's scoring going on. And then, hey, all my relatives know that I'm a huge Cowboy fan.
Right on.
And that's all they do is give me shit. My mother-in-law is over. She's a Redskins fan. And she's,
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I can't even believe it. So, you know, there's all this excitement. My back is to the TV some of the time. It was a tough day. So, anyway, it got me a little discombobulated. I was a little burnt up on it, but we made it through, and our Cowboys held out. Big win.
It was a big win, of course. And you know what I really liked about this one was our defense. Our defense kept bending, but never breaking. I mean, they seemed like they were on the verge of always getting something going, and we just put a stop to it. It was beautiful.
Okay, so get your shot glasses lined up.
Oh,
Rams story coming. So in 99, my first year with the Rams, when they did win the Super Bowl, they had that explosive offense. Now, the difference between the two offenses is – you know, the greatest show on turf was, I mean, they could quick strike, boom, boom, boom. Ours is a methodical, like I described on the show last week. It's like playing golf with old people. Boring, just right down the middle. You know, next thing you know, they beat your ass. I mean, the Cowboys are the same way, 10, 12, 14 play drives. They eat up the clock. But it was a bend, don't break defense, and that's what I'm comparing it to. And the Rams' defense ended up statistically being very good. And the reason for that is they could get that early lead. They could pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. And that's the one thing that we're missing right now is the fact that we're up, but we're not getting that how do you say? I struggle for because we aren't breaking, right? But we're not getting that three and out all the time. It seems like we're a little soft and we're letting them come down the field and then, hey, get the field goal or maybe we get a turnover. But – I want to see the quarterback going down and getting sacked. And this Kirk Cousins lit us up pretty good.
Well, you know what? In all respect to that, though, Steve, we were facing, like, the number two passing and all that. I mean, these guys had the record, too. I mean, for Rich, he sent the message to us saying that, hey, I wasn't happy with this, I wasn't happy with that. And I'm saying this to you as well. This was a nice Redskin team that we played. And
absolutely.
You know what? They were going to get theirs. So that's why Vegas even had us at 50 on the over and under. We were going to score. They were going to score. Bottom line. I had this one 31-30. It ended up being 31-24. But that's a compliment to what we're facing. I mean, we could face a bad team, take care of business. We could face a good team and take care of business.
I agree with you, and that's spot on, your call right there. It's just one of those things where, okay, guys, we're 10-1, right? We're nitpicking just a little bit.
Right.
Hell, I would like to see a 5-sack game. Let me nitpick, okay? At 10-1, I think you got to look for things. You know, you got to stretch for things. All of a sudden, we're going to start talking about, well, I don't like their warm-up routine or something.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
At 10-1, 11-1, you're starting to get
this is our best start, isn't it, man?
Oh, my God. 10 wins in a row. No, it's never been done in the franchise.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And it should have been 11-0 if Terrence Williams doesn't get out of bounds. If he gets out of bounds, we got Bailey kicking a 56-yard field goal to win the game.
Right. So let's go to that. You know, before we – and, folks, we're a couple days late. It's hard to get, you know, like I said, we're grasping at things to really kind of nitpick on. But let's go back to week one. If we're sitting at 11-1 or 11-0 right now.
11-0.
I mean, what are your thoughts? Are you really thinking run the table?
Well, you know what? I think that if you're – is it good that we're 10-1 or would it have been better if we're 11-0? Because maybe Michael Irvin's got a point whenever he said he had a post up that I said, you know what, he's getting on my nerves. These Cowboys are getting on my nerves. I put it on our Cowboy site. And he said they just don't know how to lose and maybe they need to lose one game. And I was like – you know what? Maybe, but maybe not.
Okay,
I just don't want to do that.
Listen,
I don't want to
lose. If you start doing that, I might. If you even bend that way, I might scissor kick you in the throat because you won't you won't even talk about a trap game. But now all of a sudden you're like, hey, is it good for the soul to lose?
No. He said that,
right.
And I looked at it, and I'm thinking what we just talked about. If we were 11-0 at the time, at this time, and Michael Irvin said that, then I would say, maybe he's got a point. Maybe they're not playing like. But, you know, if you're 11-0, how the hell can you be playing but good?
They're playing
great. I don't understand. If you're 10-1, you're playing damn good, too.
Absolutely.
So I don't know where the hell he got that from. But,
no, that is one of the things that teams look at, and they talk about it all the time. I mean, we lived it with the New England when they made their run and went 16-0. And, you know, they had everything locked up, and you started thinking, hey, are they going to sit Brady? Are they going to sit Gronk? Who are they going to sit? Are they going to rest players and get ready for playoffs? That type of stuff. So that's the type of things you start talking about and thinking about now is making sure you're healthy. But do you make sure you're healthy to the detriment of losing a game? And I would say, yes, it's okay, except for these goddamn Giants keep winning.
Now, you know what? I'm really not worried about anyone. I swear to God, this is the one year that I'm going into each game, and I'm really confident. I'm really confident. I mean, honest to God, it's like watching my mid-90s Cowboys playing now. That's how confident I am. Going every game, I feel like we're going to win. It's not like last year, the year before, and so forth. I really feel that every time we get out on the field, we're going to win the game, and the same with the Redskins. I knew it was going to be a tight game. I knew it was going to be a high-scoring game. Mind you, I said it's, they're going to get their points, and we can't criticize the Redskins or our defense for allowing these points to happen because they were going to get their points. But I just love the way we galvanize together. And we just say, okay, they're going to get their point, but we're going to score a couple more times more.
No, absolutely. And when you look at it and you go, the exciting thing for me is you're right. I feel confident when we get out there. But the awesome thing is that you just don't know how you're going to win week in and week out. You just feel confident you're going to win. I think, did Dak only have 196 passing yards?
No, I got to check that out. That seems kind of low.
No, but you had Cousins throw for 400, you know. So they're, it seems like, hey, they're kind of one-dimensional. They're going to be passing the ball. And then all of a sudden, we got Dak who throw for 300 one week, 200 the next. Elliott will run for, I think he was right at the 100-yard mark there, just under, or he might break out 150s. So the defense, bend don't break. Somebody's going to get a big turnover. Witten's going to catch balls. Beasley's going to catch balls. Dez is going to have a big game. Terrence is going to be important. So all of a sudden, you're getting into the situation where we are a fully rounded team.
Right.
And that's what makes us scary. And not only that, but then you got that extra dimensional quarterback that can actually get out and run a little bit, and he had some yards.
He did that, and it was beautiful seeing him go like that.
So if you're a defensive coordinator coming in, you're just not sitting there saying, hey, we're going to stop Drew Brees, or hey, we're going to stop Kirk Cousins to DeSean Jackson. You're going to say, hey, if you're going to take away Dez, then guess what? Witten and Beasley are going to tear you up, and Terrence. If you're going to say, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to be a bend, don't break, well, guess what? Bailey's deadly inside 60, right?
Yeah. So, that's amazing,
you know,
isn't it?
We got
the best kicker in the NFL. Solid kicker. You know every time he steps forth out there that you know it's going to get done.
Right.
And that's being cocky, but it's the truth, man.
Well, that's what I'm so fired up on this team about. We're just firing on – all cylinders.
Yeah, you're right about that, buddy. 190 yards passing.
It was crazy.
That's amazing. But you know what? We had 353 yards total. They had 505 total. I mean, like I said, we bent a lot, but we just didn't let them have the big play. I mean,
well, we didn't let them have multiple, but they had a big play
They had that. God, and you know what? What's up with him? I mean, he scores and he's doing that Michael Jackson dance. What's his name again?
DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
That's,
he's always done shit like that.
I get it.
You're losing.
I know.
You're losing.
I'm torn on that because I like the end zone celebration. I really do.
I do too, and you're winning.
I also like the Barry Sanders. I also like what Elliott did when he scored the game winner against, you know, Pittsburgh. He ran and he looked for his, you know, arms to jump into. Is it Pittsburgh or Baltimore? Which one was it? It's Pittsburgh, right?
Which game was that?
I think it's Pittsburgh when he ran in that extra touchdown at the end.
Right.
So, you know, those are exciting, absolutely. But I do like the end zone celebration. I wish they had allowed the teams to do more choreographed stuff. I mean, hey, if you want to know why fans aren't tuning in.
No, I'll tell you why. You really want to know why. I'm getting tired of this question that everyone's at. We've taken away an NFL team from an NFL town. They're not wanting to watch the game. You know how many listeners that is? How many listeners from St. Louis have given up on the NFL? That's where you're going down.
Yeah, well, I mean,
come on. You're talking the entire Midwest here. If in this area, St. Louis area, you got it all the way to Iowa, you got middle of Illinois, little parts of Arkansas. I mean, these were Rams fans, and now they've tuned it out. They've gotten rid of, okay, I don't have a team anymore, I'm not watching. Now,
that plays a role. Yeah,
that plays a role.
But
you're
going to
see
a
slight number drop on that.
But at the end of the day, you know, in St. Louis, you have 3.5 million people, and you're pulling a 12 market share, okay, on the Rams games. Then you go out to L.A. that they have 24 million people, and you're pulling a 9 market share. So percentage-wise, it's down, but listener-wise, it's up.
Right.
I think it plays a role of it, but I really think that the whole why it's down overall is because it's just not fun.
You know,
there's no, you know, you have a couple of characters in there that they allow to do things and a couple of celebrations, but people want more than that.
Forget that right now. Let's talk about, I mean, if you're the Redskins, you're kind of pissed because first downs, they had 25, we had 24. Rushing first downs, they had 20, we had 11. First downs from penalty, well, who cares about that? Third down efficiency, 8 for 15, we had 4 for 8. Fourth down, they were 2 for 2. I mean, total yards, 505 to our 353. That flight home to Washington, D.C., man, they had to be looking at each other like, You know what? We could have won this one.
Oh, no. And that's the point I want to debate. I'm not sure if they flew home and they said we should have won it. I think their flight home is like, holy crap, how do you beat this team?
You're right.
Because we threw 505 yards of offense, and we still don't win.
I mean, if I don't give you the score here, Steve-O, and I just read these stats to you, you're going to say, what did we lose by?
Exactly.
I mean, honest to God, that's what you're going to look at.
Hey, but here's the deal. They're 8 for 15, the Redskins are, in third down efficiency, and we're 4 for 8. So what's that tell you? We didn't get into a situation where we needed that big third down play.
I think the big number is 2 for 5 in the red zone for them, 4 for 4 for us in the red zone. That's really the game changer right there.
Yeah.
Because if you're 2 for 5, you had the opportunity to do something, and our defense held you out. So you know what? We're 4 for 4. Last year or the year before, 4 for 4, that's a big number, my man.
It's huge. So going forward, yeah, when you read off the stats, I'm sitting here saying, how bad did we lose? But I'm telling you, I don't think at any point, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want to do. I don't think the Redskins thought that they had a chance. They didn't look. They're not reviewing tape saying, oh, man, we could have won. If we would have made this play, oh, it changes the game. I don't see any play in there that went against them, even the onside kick, you know, that they go, boy, if that call or this play would have been made, it's a totally different game. You saw it on the Monday night game where the guy from the Texans was in, Hopkins, I think, was in the whole way, and they call you out of bounds. That's a game changer, okay?
Right.
They don't have any play in there that I think that they review and go, oh, boy, we should have won this game. I think they got beat. They got beat by a better team, but they didn't get beat statistically. But at the end of the day, we don't play stats. We play scoreboard.
Right. And I said it all along. Reed was going to be the one guy that I feared, and he came to play, man. He brought it on, and
he had a good game. Crowder had a good game. DeSean Jackson ended up with the big catch at the end of the day, but I don't think he did much outside of that. And then Fat Rob, you know, the running back, had a fairly decent game.
I think we held him pretty good.
Yeah.
I really did.
But if you looked at that off defensive line, and I got some notes in here, and I haven't opened them yet for the show, but that's what I think I was really impressed with, was our defensive run pressure. And it just seemed like every time they handed the ball off to Kelly or Thompson or whoever, it could have been John Riggins.
We were filling those gaps.
We were
really
filling
good,
the gaps,
man.
Swarming, you know, big tackles, and it set the tone, because I think what they figured, their game plan was time of possession, and let's go out there and control the clock, because we know the Cowboys are going to control the clock against us. So the run D was exceptional. Congratulations, boys. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. You know what I really like, and this goes to how the show started off, is we adapt to every type of game setting we're supposed to be in. I mean, if they want to get tight with us, we play tight with them. If they want to throw the ball around, we throw the ball. Whatever it is, we're adapting to whatever they're throwing at us, and my God, it's working. I mean, with everything out there, you're seeing the Cowboys just outplaying the opponents. Whatever the opponent brings, Baltimore brought in the best defensive team out there. Well, we tore it apart. I mean, we didn't tear it apart, but we got our job done.
Right?
That's what it is, getting the job done. When we played the Packers, they didn't allow a 100-yard rusher and all this stuff for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. We put an end to that. We had 130-yard rushing from Elliott. So, you know what? It's like whatever they're bringing to the table, we're kind of destroying it. It's beautiful.
It's unbelievable. But I want – and I forget where the play is. And this is what happens when you get old – and you had too much turkey. But the one note I had on here, which goes into the whole NFL and what's going on, is Dak had a play. I think he ran a ball in for a touchdown, had a great bootleg, and just the pure excitement and the smile on his face. Just, I mean, it was like a kid on Christmas morning. I mean, he just looked unbelievably happy, and it has a lot to do with being in 10-1 and being up. But I don't see that out of a lot of quarterbacks around the NFL where it's just pure excitement. You saw it with Brett Favre. Okay, if you remember right, but you get into like a Cam Newton, where you'll see that pure enjoyment, but you also see that cocky, you know, hey, look at me, showboat thing. Whereas Dak was just it just seemed like he was so thrilled to be out there and happy that he's playing well and everything's rolling right, and there was no showmanship. Hey, let's go score and let's go team. And that's the mark of a true leader that people follow. He doesn't have to be a leader and have the captain on his a jersey, you know, and say, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. And that's what I really like about Prescott right now.
Okay, since you did go there, let's bring up the Norman Dez showdown here.
Okay.
And, I mean, there was some talking going on, some big-time talking going on, and then all hell broke loose there. Now, is that the comfort zone for Dez? Because that I think he thrives on that. He's not the type of guy that shies away from it. And he produces when he gets someone in his face and in his grill and yelling at him and make. I mean, he's one of those type of players that elevates him a little bit more.
No.
Do you agree on that?
Oh, absolutely. He is that type of player that if.
He's not like Beckham. Odell Beckham, if you get in his face and start going after him, he loses control, and he's like a chicken without a head, and he's done. He's done.
Right. So, anyway, this is Norman's MO, right? That's his modus operandi. That's what he does. Okay,
right.
He wants, and you saw it with Beckham, and I think that he wanted to carry that over to a Dez, and I think he's done it several other times. But, you know, he wants to talk shit, which I get. You know, that's, hey, half that game out there is being in somebody's grill, being in their head, trying to get them out of
right.
their game. Because at the end of the day, he doesn't have a prayer against a Dez Bryant or an Odell Beckham or a Julio Jones. You know, this guy's not big enough to really handle those guys.
I think he is. That we're okay. Different right there. But I just think that Dez is better than maybe Odell Beckham. But I think Julio is the same type of receiver that Dez is. But Norman definitely, he makes it known that if you're going to catch it, at least give me a little look. If you don't give that look, you know, the ball's going to fly out of your hand. I mean, he demands that little fear factor right there.
No, I get that. But, you know, he has that game that he wants to talk the shit, and Dez isn't going to back down from that because that's his MO too. He wants to get out there and say, look at me, I'm better than you, which you want that out of your skill position players.
Right.
You want the guy that says, I'm not scared. Give
right.
me the ball. And you want the defensive back that says, I'm not scared, try to throw the ball on me. Great, great matchup. I want to know, Jono, and you can fill us in a little bit more on what happened postgame. Like I said, I had fumbled a little bit with the whole meal planning.
Well, right so after it, the game.
They got. I saw the pushing match and everything, but what was the take afterwards? Because I didn't watch any postgame.
I think afterwards, Dez said, I can't believe Washington's paying this guy all this money. And that's another thing. That's a whole different area because now players like to see players getting the money because it only helps them in the future too. But now he's calling out Washington saying that this guy's not worth what you're paying. And he said that. He said that, and that's kind of like deep trenches right there.
No, and I know that was postgame, but what, like in the presser afterwards, but what
right.
happened on the field? They went to shake hands, and where they were still talking to each other.
I don't think they went to shake hands. I think they were still jawing, and then Dez was like, he came over to say one last thing, and Norman just went nuts. I was like, get the hell away from me. I don't want you want to see anymore. But
hey.
I think what you started, you got to learn to finish it too, Norman. And you know what? Dez said, you started it, and I'm going to finish it. And that's how it ended up.
And he did. And he did. And I like to see that fire out of those guys. I don't mind
One
that.
Good thing about him, though, that I love about Dez is he knows what limit to take it to. Because when you've seen a guy like a Butler throw the ball at the guy or something. Like, it cost us. It cost us 15 yards. It's like he knows where that deep water is, and he'll put one toe out there, and he'll say, okay, I can't go any further. I can't jeopardize a 15-yard penalty for the team.
And nobody likes those stupid penalties. Nobody. Fans don't like them. Teammates don't like
them. It comes back to bite you,
coaches don't like them. Yeah. You can't give up the stupid one. And I think we played a fairly clean game in that respect. Didn't have too much issue. But overall, I loved that game. And I love that we just imposed our will on their team and said, hey, you know what? Get your 500 yards. But you are not going to beat us. And I don't, going back to that point, I don't think Washington watched game film and said, man, we had a shot. They might look at the stats and go, what happened? But there was, we imposed our will, and just, I thoroughly think we gave them an ass whooping, even though it didn't show on the scoreboard.
Well, what I've normally seen on Thanksgiving, it's always we try to catch a team. They always jump out in front of us, and then it's like, it's like we got to catch 14 to 20 points down. And this time it was like you could have your 505 yards, but I'll tell you what, you're going to have to catch us. And that's the role reversal. And I can only credit Dak on this, and no offense to Tony Romo on this, but Dak really seems to have this offense in one gear, and they're very comfortable. They just don't know how to lose. And knock on wood, you know what, Michael Irvin, I don't care what you say, pal, because if a team doesn't know how to lose, they won't lose.
Right.
Don't tell me that they got to get used to losing so they'll understand and be humble.
And here's the deal. You bring up a great point. My take on the difference, I think we're winning games, or we got great stats or whatever it is if we have Romo back there. But I think Romo tends to push the ball, and probably our scoring would be a little bit quicker. I don't think we'd have any, you know, I think maybe we'd have some longer drives, but I don't think we'd have as many 10 and 12 play drives,
which puts
our defense back on the field. And that, at the end of the day, all of a sudden you start playing where these guys march down, and instead of a bend, don't break, you got a bend and break.
Well, I think adding something to yours, though, I think that when Tony Romo's in there, I think it's a predictable offense. You know what they're going to be doing. But with this offense, you don't know what Dak's going to do. He's calling off a lot of plays. He's audibilizing. He's making things move over there. And no offense again to Tony, but it just seemed like one play after another, you knew what the hell was going to happen. You knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And that really makes the defense know what the hell's going on as well. If we know as fans what the hell's happening, you know the defense has picked up on that 2-3 series beforehand.
And I think Tony, and not to beat this dead horse, I think that he tends to get into a situation and have so much confidence that he goes, okay, well, you're in that defense, which is the right defense against this play, but guess what? Me and my guys are better than you and your guys, so I'm going to go ahead and stick with it. And I think Dak is given what the defense has given him. I mean, he's taken it. Hey, here I am. I'm going to check out of this one. I'm going to check into a run. And now, like you said, Tony gets in there. You got the play-action pass. All of a sudden, guys are covered up. But with Dak, he gets in there. You got play-action. Well, he can still roll out.
Yeah.
Buy some time, and you saw him do it a couple of different times.
Right.
And it doesn't matter, left or right, he has a strong arm on both.
Right.
Okay? And then he also has that dimension where he can tuck it and run, and not just run like a Tony Romo now, six or seven
yards.
It's
a very aggressive run. I mean, he's looking towards the end zone.
Absolutely.
On his run. He's past the first-yard marker. Yeah, I definitely, and that's nothing – to bring up Tony Romo, but I'm just talking about predictable offenses from the past, and now we've got something that's very unique here to where we could. There's a lot of weapons on that field on that Dallas offense now. Agree?
Agreed. 100% agreed. So love it. Guys are playing well, and
Hey, folks, if you're out there, and I hope you are, which we're seeing the numbers, I think we're close to 8,000 now on Facebook. It's unbelievable. And our Twitter's been going crazy, and we're seeing a lot of you fans out there. You're loving our show. show some love for lineupmedia.fm. We've got some great shows, great sports shows. I got one called Bleacher Bums, and Steve-O's got one. What's the other?
Two Birds on a Bat. It's a Cardinal baseball one.
It's a Cardinal baseball show there that you guys will definitely enjoy. I mean, there's all sorts of different shows out there for you guys. And I know if you're stuck in L.A. on that highway, yeah, definitely you could tune into lineupmedia.fm and find the right show that you love.
Yeah, we got MMA show. We got, like I said, I think I sat in for you the other day on Bleacher Bums with your partner, and we ran that. And
that's great.
And that's, you know what, it's those other shows are a little bit more, I won't say a little bit more fun, but they're fun because you get to talk about more than one subject. You know, we're stuck here on the Dallas Cowboys.
Wait, you're not going to talk about my sausage fingers again?
No,
we'll be fine. Pretty good there.
We'll be fine. But, yeah, tune in, lineupmedia.fm. Check out some of the shows. I think we're
excellent stuff.
Getting close to 60 of them up there. So
yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I guess now we're going into what? Now we're going into 11th win now. We're getting close to that one now.
Yep.
We could be 11-1 by then next Thursday.
So we got another primetime game coming up.
Just bailing NFL out here on the ratings? They're saying that we're the only ones that are producing some big numbers.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of – obviously, if your New England has a decent – viewership.
Yeah, but honest to God, we're throwing the best numbers.
I know, but what I'm saying is New England, but that's a relatively, that's within the last 15 years that really that franchise has come out of anywhere. Green Bay has always been great. You know, your NFC North usually has a decent viewership, even though they're, you know, they are what they are. But there is no team out there, and I don't care who you are. The Raiders do fairly well. But
man, nothing's
there's
even close
nothing
to us right
like
now.
America's team, and we're going to start and saying screw America's team. We're going to start saying this is the world's team.
You're right,
because
you're right.
There is nothing like our fans, and
all
around the globe, and especially winning. When yep. we're winning, and I don't care. Listen, folks, I know you're not bandwagoners. My son,
I'm very happy with bandwagoners. By the way, I want everyone to be a Cowboy fan. How's that sound?
Oh, absolutely. But I don't think that our fans are bandwagoners. I think what they are is if they didn't have, they're loud and proud with their Dallas Cowboys stuff out there walking around in public. Well, guess what? Neither did the Cubs people up until this year. Neither did the Kansas City Royals people up until last year. So I get it. But now everywhere you turn, it's Dallas Cowboys, and you can see it. It's not a whole lot of new stuff. They're bringing it out of their closets.
I'm kind of like, you know what, whoever wants to jump on the bandwagon, as they want to call it, is fine with me, because you know what, that gets more listeners to me, and that gets a lot more people wearing Cowboy gear. The hell with that. If that's their way to getting me back and ticking me off from New York Giants perspective or anything like that, I don't care. I hope your whole Giants stadium becomes bandwagon Cowboy fans. How would that be? All Cowboy fans cheering on someone against you.
Well, we need a new generation of Cowboy fans built, and this team might be the one that can do it, okay? And I say might. They are going to be the one that can do it. You got a dynamic offensive line, and you got great skill position players, and you got a defense that's really stepping up. And if you remember, folks, and I'm probably – Jono and I are in our 40s, and – a lot of fans were built in that era where it was the mid-70s to early 80s, right? Where a lot of Cowboy fans were built. And then again, a lot of Cowboy fans were built in the early 90s, early to mid-90s. So we've had a little bit of a dry spell, but now let's build another generation of Dallas Cowboy fans, because soon, 15, 20 years from now, they're going to be talking about those great teams of the 2016 and 17 and 20 Dallas Cowboys.
And you know what I really like is and this is going to complement my NFC East, we're starting to look like the traditional NFC East conference now. It's not just a clumsy a conference to where everyone just walks all over anymore. A couple years ago, you were trying to get in with a 500 record.
Right.
But now it's definitely an NFC East that's just like the old times, and it deserves all the respect. Up and down that lineup, man. Well, our worst place team is right now what? The Eagles, 5-5?
Right.
5-5, and they're going to crush Green Bay. You watch and see.
Yeah, boy, I'd love to get some separation. We need a little bit of help out there. I want to get that home field early.
You know what? It really doesn't bother me at all. I'm looking at it like everything is in our driver's seat now. We control our own fate. I mean, that's bottom line. The way we're playing right now, and our schedule doesn't look that bad either. We're playing Minnesota Vikings this Thursday. I'm not sold on the Vikings.
Do they have Adrian Peterson coming back for that game, or is he still listed as out?
I know he
was trying to make it back, and we're still – folks, we apologize. You know, when you have a Thursday schedule and then back-to-back Thursday games, it's – you know, it throws our schedule off a little bit. So we're trying to do the post game.
But we'll have that Thursday going.
Well, here's what I want to do.
Maybe
we
can get some,
here's what I want to do. I would love to go with Periscope and Facebook Live during the game in studio, watching a game, and have our 8,000 Facebook fans
or more
chiming in and participating, watching the game with us. It's going to be a great game, NFL Network. All right.
You know what would be cool about that? I think that they can even take our site and put it on their site, and they could do a little conversation what they got going as well. I mean, it doesn't even have to be – we don't even have to chime in on that conversation. They can just see us and have a conversation about our conversation.
That'd be awesome. I want to do that. I think we got the technical people here that's going to make that happen here at Lineup Media Group.
Right.
So we've talked to them about it, and you know, obviously there's some restrictions. We can't do play-by-play, even though we got the voices and the faces for the play-by-play, right?
Right on.
But we can sit there, and we can – it would be like all of us together are in the same room watching a game, almost a big party. Who's bringing the nachos?
I think you bring the nachos. I'll bring I could bring some – how about some brats? I'll bring some brats.
Ooh, I love
brats,
it.
Brats, and we'll get Richie to bring in some too. By the way, Richie's not here today, folks. Richie, this was a late notice I gave to Steve-O. He said, I'm in. So I appreciate it, guys.
Yep.
And you know what? I think this Sunday – after the game or Sunday when we're not playing, I think this is a good timing to do a show anyway.
I love it. I wish we had a couple cocktails up here and the TV's on to watch some football and talk about it. But this is what we do on a normal day anyway, right? We love this stuff. So, hey, couple other things that – and I know we'll get on to talking a little Minnesota Vikings here. No sacks.
Yeah.
No sacks this last week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then did you notice – that they had Elliott out there on the hands team on the second onside kick when they kicked that. You know, he's the one that they kicked the ball.
I think that's a great call.
Great call.
I think that's a great call. I would have all my wideouts, tight ends, and Elliott in there. So
but would you ever see an Emmett Smith out there on a hands team, do you think?
I think so. I really do. I think I would put in my DBs. I would put in my all the guys that – yeah, I would have put Emmett in there.
Okay.
I mean, that wouldn't have surprised me if I seen that, so no big deal.
You know, you
that.
Try to go back and think of if you ever saw that, and I hadn't for that type of guy, you know, but a great, great play there where we got the ball back and were able to close out the game. But all in all, man, great, great win against the Washington Redskins and extending that to a 10-1 record now. And here we go, Thursday night, NFL Network. We're going to go take on the Minnesota Vikings up in their building, right?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty easy. I really like it again. I don't think this is one of those games that you're looking at as a trap. You're looking at this one as a opponent that likes to win, knows how to win, and we're just going to take that out of them real early.
I agree with you. Obviously, you know, I have my poo-poo on Sam Bradford. Not a huge fan of his. I just don't think that he is going to be able to do anything against our defense. He does that quick check down. He's very quick to check down. So I would love to see a whole lot of game film being watched and hopefully be able to jump a pattern or two and maybe get a pick six. I think the play might be Dallas defense this week. If you're in any of your daily fantasy picks or anything like that. But I like the Dallas defense, and I think we can actually get to him and get some sacks.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think all in all, I think that we're sitting good. We're playing solid. We got our heads on straight. I'm not going into that theory that Michael Irvin said we need to be humbled a little bit. I don't think so. I think you've got a lot of – hungry people out there, hungry players out there that want to get the job done and finish this off at 15-1.
Yeah, that, and that would
That's what I'm saying. I really do see that. So, maybe I'm overdoing everything here, but as a Cowboy fan for a long time that's been abused, they showed the Thanksgiving history. The last four or five, they had Minnesota beating us, and, I'm tired of all that. I'm tired of losing. It's time for us to give some ass-whipping now.
So pull up the rest of the schedule. I know we have Minnesota. I know the day after Christmas we have Detroit, and then we have our divisional games in there that we have to get through, which I think is also a big game on New Year's Day, or is it New Year's Eve? That we have. So as we go through that schedule, I mean, that'll be important to kind of look at where everybody is and maybe give an idea on.
Look, we got the – okay, after the Viking game, we're going to play the Giants at New York.
Okay.
Then we got the Buccaneers in Dallas. Then we got the Lions in Dallas. And then we got the Eagles.
The Eagles.
And finish it off.
Okay, so, you know, obviously the Buccaneers have, you know, their fair share of positives and negatives down there.
Yeah, but we had a weak team last year, and we had a stupid penalty in the end zone, and they got the ball back, and whatever. Buccaneers are doable, very easy.
Absolutely. I think you got a good win here. The test is going to be – you got a couple of tests there. You have your New York Giants.
I think it's the NFC East. I think it's the NFC. It's the Giants and the Eagles.
I really don't even look at that Eagle game being so late in the year really being a factor on anything. I think everything's going to be said and done by then, and at that point I think your starters got to go in, get a half of work, and then probably get pulled out and say screw the rest, we're just going to move on and get our bye week and go into the divisional round.
Well, we'll see about that, because I really like to finish the season off strong.
Yep.
Based on everything that we've done, don't take anything out of ordinary, you know, and just keep doing what we've been doing. So I'm not into resting.
No, I get it. I understand, but the Detroit game's a big one, too, because they seem to be, like, the team that's going to come
and
out of the North.
They still feel like they owe us.
Oh, yeah.
One pass interference that they didn't call in that game, but sure enough, they called it on Dez the following game. NFL made sure that they got the last hurrah on that one.
Yep. NFL is better, though, with the Cowboys. But I like our schedule. I think it's going to give us enough challenge, but it's not going to be so. I think we've made it through the hardest part. And now it's just a matter of staying healthy and continuing to build and improve on what we've been doing for the first 11 weeks.
I think you're right, buddy. I think you're right. And I like to, you know what? I think we covered all the angles for today. Let me just take a look at what the scores are right now. And mind you, these aren't. Well, yeah, we got one final here. No, we don't. No, we don't. That's from the past there. Let me see. We got a 20-20. Buffalo's tied with Jacksonville. We got 24-14 49ers or Dolphins right now, and that is in the fourth. That's in the fourth. And Atlanta, I think it's all working out though. What I thought, but Buffalo's got a win here, man, for me. Jesus, I got a couple bucks on that one. All right. Hey, folks, Steve-O, it's been great, man. And, folks, you could catch lineupmedia.fm, and please go to our site at cowboyspodcast.com. And you know what? I had a couple people tell me that they tried to get on Amazon. They couldn't get on Amazon. So you might want to do that through your site. Go to cowboyspodcast.com and hit Amazon on your right hand side there, and then shop away, because I heard a couple people say they tried to do the /Amazon, they couldn't get through. So I don't know what the hell's going on there.
Yeah,
we'll have to ask our IT guys when we see them tomorrow.
Yep. So go right to our site, cowboyspodcast.com. Hit on the Amazon. It's halfway down on the right hand side. It's a banner ad there. Go there. It's a little love back to us. But find us if you're not following us on Facebook. Become a Facebook follower of ours, Cowboys Podcast. I'm Steve-O Jones on Facebook, so look me up. Love to have you as a friend and chime in on some things there. Ask us any questions. Follow us on Twitter, @CowboysPodcast. Always a great way. We have a guy that really helps Jono monitor that, T.O. over here, and does a great job at putting out content.
Our whole crew here, man. They really help us out.
So and thank them so much for actually letting us get on the phone with them and walk through the boards here so we're all set up.
And a little shout-out to Rob. I mean, his
Rob Dobb. Blogger, Rob Dobb.
Rob Dobb, he's been outstanding, man. People really love reading his stuff. God bless you, Rob.
He puts good content out. So follow him on Facebook, too, at Rob Dobb. Great stuff on the blog, and he kind of monitors all that, and he's an administrator there. And that's the best part of it. We don't really have to do anything on it.
And we'll let you guys know. We'll Facebook message, and we'll find out what our deal is with Thursday. Hopefully we could do something like that. That would be great.
That would be awesome. I wouldn't even mind grabbing a couple other guys in here.
And doing the whole game, yeah.
Doing it and getting it on there. Get Richie and somebody else and having a little bit of soiree in here.
Perfect. And matter of fact, it'd be like a whole bar full of Cowboy fans, because you guys will be chiming in on everything that we're doing, too, just talking Cowboy. So God bless. Hey, Cowboy Nation, stay tuned Thursday, or we will let you know what we got in store for you for Thursday. And from Steve-O and Jono, we are out of here.
Go, boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.